Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Jasmine Bryant, Assistant Director of Programming at DC Shorts.
And this is one of my favorite annual traditions in DC. I mean, every fall I enjoy coming here. I've come both as a fan and as a filmmaker and as a critic. I've seen it from all different lenses,
okay.
And it's one of the best festivals in town for
cool,
sure.
Cool.
Remind me, how many years have you guys been going? I know John Gann started it, but
right. We're
over a decade at this point, right?
Yeah, this is the 15th year that it's kicking off. It runs from September 6th through September 16th. So it's 11 days of films from around the world, and then we also have a screenplay competition at the end of the week, which they have like live readings for 6 finalists. So it's a lot of fun. There's a lot taking place. There are parties, there are workshops there's like directing, advanced techniques. There's screenwriting, budgeting. Workshops. What else do we have?
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of things.
What are the venues are you at this year?
We're back at the E Street, the landmark E Street
That's
Cinema.
That's your guys' staple.
Right. That's where we have the film festival, and then we go to the Miracle Theater for the screenwriting.
Down on Barracks Row?
Correct.
Did you do it there previous years?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This is my second year with them, so I don't know where they went.
Right.
Before that.
It used to be, I think it was in the basement of like a church.
Are you serious?
Over above Chinatown.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Somewhere up there, yeah. Well, the Miracle Theater is also a church.
Oh, it is?
They rotate it. That's why it's called
okay.
The Miracle. Aha!
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's a really cool space. You said you've been there with them 2 years, so
correct.
Maybe you don't have these stats on the top of your head, but do you have an idea of how much it's grown? I mean, do you know how many submissions you got this year?
This year we had over 1,200, and from the 1,200, we narrowed it down to 400, and from the 400, we narrowed it to 125 finalists.
That will be showing.
Yes.
Wow. That's really cool. And give me a sense of, I mean, they usually come from all over the world,
God.
But do you have an idea of all what countries are represented?
Yeah, there's Kosovo, Israel, Mozambique, Canada, Switzerland, Mexico, Belgium, New Zealand, South Korea. I know there's more.
America.
There are a lot more.
America.
Yeah, America. Yeah, I tend not to include that because
yeah.
It's sort of obvious,
yeah.
You know? We get a lot of representation from the good old USA.
Yeah.
But yeah, Germany, France, just over 30 countries.
That's
a lot.
That's so awesome. And what I love about that, too, is it really, it'll open your eyes. What did Ebert said before he died? What? Film is the ultimate empathy machine. And it's a great concept because literally you're forced in the dark and you're literally seeing things from different people's point of view from around the world. So if you come to this, a short fest, you get exposed to a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. I kind of think of it as a cinematic dim sum.
Oh,
you know,
I like
that. Just a little bit from here and there, you know, and who doesn't love dim sum, you know? So
John Gann used to call it the tapas idea, but you just one-upped him with cinematic dim sum.
I love it. Now I'm getting hungry.
So it's like, I'm hungry for film. So you're sitting there, basically, to continue the analogy, you're sitting there at your table in the theater, quote-unquote table,
right.
And you have waiters bringing around little dim sums.
Exactly.
A little, like, taste this genre. Oh, you don't like that? Wait 10 minutes and here's another one. By the way, let's explain that. Because you and I are talking like we know what short film festivals are, but let's say some of our listeners, the poor souls, have never been to one.
That's sad.
How do you explain, break it down just how it works in terms of how many movies are in each showcase and how you get a variety in each?
Okay, well, the first weekend is really the first run films that we show, and those are around 18 showcases, if you can believe that, that are all just a mishmash of different genres, styles, and it usually runs, each showcase runs between like 90 to 100 minutes, and we try to get in at least 8 films per showcase. So when you go, you feel like you're kind of getting a feature.
Right.
you know.
Yeah,
so
you know, you've paid it's and it, it, you pay the ticket and go sit for the an hour and a half or 2 hours just like you do for a movie. But imagine you get, you know, 8 to 10 you get 8 to 10 movies for the
price
of that.
Right.
So
and
it's great.
That's great. Yeah. And so during that first weekend is when we have like the jury prizes and audience awards. So the audience gets to vote on their favorite films, like favorite first-time filmmaker, favorite documentary, etc.
Right.
And then after that, from Sunday, or no, actually that following Monday through Thursday, I believe, is when we have like the special showcases, which are more like thematic showcases. For instance, we have one called I Am Woman. We have comedy, we have LGBTQ, we have Thrills and Chills, we have The Real Real, which is for documentaries, we have Ripped from the Headlines. So all those films will either have some kind of, they'll have a similar theme, genre, or style.
I like that, because that it wasn't always like that from when I remember going, but I like that you, so what you're saying is that you, it starts with just sort of the mishmash dim sum
right.
arrangements in the first showcases leading up to the awards. And then for the next week, you regroup them in these thematics.
Right.
That's a cool
packages.
Way to do it.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. That was the, I really had a lot of fun programming those showcases, because as I'm selecting films, I'm thinking, oh, this film and that film, they could really go together. And, you know, and I start thinking about different types of showcases, like right. gentrification.
Right.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about a Me Too showcase.
Right. You start seeing the through
right,
lines.
Right,
through.
Right. So it's a lot of fun. And Thrills and Chills is my favorite. We have a lot.
Now we're talking. I love a good thriller.
We have a lot of suspense and thrillers, not so much as like the straight out horror films.
Right.
I wish we had more of those. I love
But it's more like films. Psychological or supernatural thrillers.
Right, yeah. Right, right. So, for instance, there's this one film
that's let's go into some
under.
Of the movies.
Okay, I have quite a few that I highlighted. So, for one of the thrillers, there's a film called The Peculiar Abilities of Mr. Mahler. It's from Germany, and it's about a special investigator with paranormal abilities. He's assigned to solve the case of a missing six-year-old, and he has to do this before the issue leads to political tensions with the West. And it takes place 1987 in East Germany. So we have a lot of period pieces.
87 in East Germany?
Right,
that's
right.
That's the year that Wim Wenders did Wings of Desire along the Berlin Wall. Did you? So I wonder if that's why he said it there. I bet he's inspired by that. Yeah.
That's something you'll have to ask the director at the Q&A.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's just gorgeous. I love the cinematography. It seriously looks like he shot this in the 70s or 80s.
Awesome.
It has that nice film, grainy quality
nice.
To it.
Nice.
So that's a really good film that I enjoyed.
Cool. And that's in Thrills and Chills?
Yes, okay. That's in Thrills and Chills. let's see, another one. Is that really... I don't know if that would be considered. Yeah, I have a whole list, so I'm trying to figure out which
one.
Well,
we don't actually. If you don't mind, we don't have to.
We don't have to stick on.
We don't have to just stick on the one genre. Like,
okay,
give me some highlights in overall. So that's one of them.
Okay, there's a film that I love called Kubrick by Candlelight. I'm a huge Stanley Kubrick fan.
Of course.
So this one is really great. It's a romantic comedy. It's set behind the scenes of the filming of Barry Lyndon, which is one of my favorite films.
Yeah. What was that, 75, I think?
No, 73. So Stanley Kubrick brought this film crew and the British Army to Ireland. And you have to keep in mind, this was happening during the Troubles. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine how locals reacted to these actors playing British soldiers, and in fact they had to move the production from Ireland to London because Stanley Kubrick, his name was put on an IRA hit list.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so it's a really good film. It's narrated by Brian Cox.
Yeah.
So you know, there were a lot of well-known actors in a lot of these films that I've seen, and I was surprised because I was like, you must have a huge budget.
So this is a documentary about the making
no,
of
this,
what is it?
It's a behind the scenes. It's a romantic comedy.
Oh, okay, so it's a narrative.
So it's a film within a film.
Gotcha. It's like a movie about a movie. Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's a great one to check out. Let's see, another one. One of my favorite documentaries is Sideline, which is about the 1978 San Diego Chargers or Chargettes. They were disbanded after several cheerleaders had posed for Playboy. So that's a good one as well, sports documentary. So those listeners out there who are, you know, football fans, they may want to check that out. Because I didn't know anything about, you know, some of these cheerleading squads, whatnot. That's a really good one. Another film is, God... There are a lot.
There's so many.
Yeah. There's Ostrich, which is, I believe that's also, no, that isn't in Thrills and Chills. That's in Rip from the Headlines Showcase. And it's by a first-time filmmaker. And it's about, it's this, what starts off as a routine interview between a rookie journalist and the deputy finance minister about government-imposed banking fines, it devolves into a grilling about financial malfeasance and political corruption. So I sort of think of it as a cross between my dinner with Andre and Margin Call.
Okay, wow.
So it's like, it's a lot of dialogue, but it's intelligent and sharp. And it's also thrilling because there's something unexpected happens at the end that you're just like, wait a second, where did that come from? So I think that's really timely, dealing with you know, corruption, political corruption and whatnot.
Right.
Another film that people should check out is Painted City. That's a documentary by a local filmmaker. And the film explores the history of D.C.'s community murals and the preservation issues they face in rapidly changing neighborhoods. We follow one local woman's efforts to study and save them. So that's a really interesting documentary. Let's see, another one. Yeah, there are quite a bit. Great comedy called End of the Line. It's about a lonely guy who goes to the pet store to purchase a tiny man in a cage.
He goes to a pet store, but there's just a little guy.
So he buys it, and, you know, the story explores social class, desire, and power. It's dark, funny, sad, and surreal. It stars Brett Gilman. I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with him, but he starred in, like, the 2017 indie Lemon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a crazy, crazy film that people will want to check out.
we need a good comedy.
Yes. We got a lot of comedies this year.
Yeah.
So, see, an animation that I really enjoyed was Weekends. It's a hand-animated film set in 1980s Toronto. And the director, he had started off with this drawing that he did 10 years ago. And since then, the story evolved into this passion project of his. And it contains many elements from his own childhood. And it uses all these memories and feelings to capture how strange and scary and wonderful childhood can be at times, while painting a portrait of two starkly different parents coping with their separate lives. So it's about a kid that is shuttled back and forth between his divorced parents.
Oh, wow.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful animation.
Yeah, every time I come, I'm amazed at the anime. It's like, I don't know, if you're coming to this festival thinking, okay, it's gonna be indie and gritty, but like, no, like it's right up there with like those Pixar shorts you'll see.
Right.
Like, the animation is incredible.
Yeah, like seriously,
because
I'm thinking, is there a studio behind this?
Yeah,
because it puts my work to shame. You know, I'm like, oh my God, these people. Some of them, the first time filmmakers. These are like student films.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no way can that be a student film, because just the quality is just amazing.
That's just great. What about, so that's, I mean, that's a nice little taste of the different movies. What about, you mentioned the parties. Where are they at this year?
Oh, okay. The parties, we have quite a few parties. Let's see. The first night, September 6th, is a filmmaker's welcome reception. That's close to the public. But that is taking place at the Pepco Edison Place Gallery.
Okay.
And that's around 7 p.m. to 9. And it gives filmmakers a chance to meet and greet and, you know, meet us and just talk about their films and pick up their badges and just, you know, get situated. So that's a lot of fun. Not the following day, but that Saturday night, September 8th, we have a City View party that is open to the public, but is invitation only. So you, not an invitation, but you do need tickets. So you should check out.
Like register online kind of thing.
Yeah, you can register and get tickets at the website festival.dcshorts.com. And that's happening from 7 to 9, September 8th. At Carroll Square on the rooftop. I guess that's a tradition. They always have it there Saturday night.
Yeah, they've had it there a while.
So that allows the public to, you know, schmooze with the filmmakers. And also, it's a great networking opportunity, I find.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun. Then that Sunday, we have a filmmaker awards brunch. And
where's that?
That's at the Lofts at 600 F Street.
Okay.
This is where we present our filmmaker awards to the filmmakers, and they receive little prizes and you know, little statuettes and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it's just complimentary cocktails and food. That is closed to the public, unfortunately.
I'm sensing a theme. No,
right. Well, I know. We're
no,
just going to
the City View one. You can go.
Yeah. But, you know, people can go online and check out what other events are open. Let's see. We have a screenplay competition reception that happens September 13th.
And doesn't the winner get money to make the
movie?
Yeah,
it's $2,000, I believe. And the winner uses the money to make their film, and they present their film the following year in the festival. So it's pretty cool. So you're automatically in. So it's a good incentive, you know, because you're like, oh, I got this money. I can finally do what I need to do with the film, because it's a lot of work going from a script to the final product. So
people don't understand
sweat, tears.
It's like manual labor. Those trucks roll up and you're unloading all those dolly tracks.
It's crazy.
And you're done. You're spent.
Yes. It's like a mini feature. People, you know, they don't get it. It's a lot of work. And I keep that in mind when I'm reviewing the films and looking at them, that, okay, I may not have been crazy about it and it might not have been that great. There was a lot of work behind that, and you don't know what went on with it, but it's very challenging, and it's just, you have to respect people that, you know, can step up and do that kind of thing, because you're putting yourself out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you're a fellow filmmaker.
Oh, yes.
Did
definitely.
You ever submit to the festival?
Oh, yeah. I've been in there twice.
Back
when I was in AU.
I didn't get in.
Yeah. There's still time.
I don't know. I think I'd rather do a feature. Because it's like, if I'm going to put all that money and effort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the equal heavy of a lift to do a short.
Right.
I mean, the production schedule obviously is shorter than a feature. But in terms of getting
everyone together,
it's the exact same thing you have to go through.
Right.
Almost harder in certain ways, because you have to
tell a good story.
Tell a great story in a shorter amount of time.
Exactly. So. It's not easy.
No.
Not easy.
Not easy. So that's why we want everyone to come out and support these local filmmakers.
Please
not just
them.
Local filmmakers, but around the world filmmakers. These indie hungry climbers. These people that have put their blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes, people. They killed themselves for you.
Yes.
Support them.
So it wouldn't kill you to get out and see them.
Right.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Just in closing, is there anything else you want to say? I mean, why should our, if they heard this, they're like, oh, that sounds interesting. Why should they come out? Of all the events in DC they could do, why, what makes DC Shorts a unique time? Let's just go out to this festival.
You know what? It's a very accessible film festival. You're able to go up and talk to the directors. They're right there on hand to answer your questions. And you know what? A lot of them are just very welcoming and open to, you know, just talking to people and just discussing their process and whatnot with the audience members. And it's just a great way to sample cinema from around the world and just learn about just different cultures, get new perspectives on things. It's a great, great time, a lot of fun. You know, people can check out some more information, or they can check out our website for more details at festivals.dcshorts.com. Do I need to repeat that?
You're good.
So you can, okay.
You got it.
But also, I forgot to mention on September 14th, because we really didn't touch on like the screenplay competition, but they have like what happens is every year as part of our film festival, we have live readings from six finalists, and they hold open auditions September 14th, which is open to anyone, so if there are people who are interested in acting, they can, you know, come down and audition for some of these scenes. And then the following day on September 15th is when they sort of had like their rehearsal for a couple hours. And then later that day, they actually put on like a live table reading of that script. And unfortunately, I missed last year. I was sick. But I heard it's a lot of fun. People get in costumes, so it's a crazy time. But that's something, you know, people should come and check out as well. I'm trying to think, was there anything else? Yeah, it's just a lot of fun, and we're cool. Cool, accessible people. Come hang out, watch some films with us, and yeah.
I love it. I okay. can't. You have to go. If you've never been, you have to go. It's a great annual tradition, and the filmmakers might be, you know, hungry, but you will leave filled with your cinematic dim sum. All right. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.